It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a... Josh Cohen,
and Home Team.
This is Josh Cohen and the Home Team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Because every day above ground is a good day. It is the Home Team on a Wednesday, and we are live in that HOV afternoon drive. Like it says on where? I-95. 4 to 6 for the ride home. ESPN 106.3, the ESPN app, and tell any smart speaker play ESPN West Palm, and there we will be streaming live worldwide. Jeanette Javier, first day of the week. Not Super Bowl week, the first week with no football. Since really you joined the show.
Mm-hmm.
The first week with no football, excluding Senior Bowl, excluding Pro Bowl, flag football, since you joined the show. I don't know how to feel about this.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But
there's an emptiness.
There is an emptiness, but now we can all focus on the NBA, and baseball's coming up real soon, and I'm very excited about that.
It's a CCAT a little early for NBA, and by that I mean it's not yet April.
Yeah. Speak for yourself. Like we all aren't going to be focusing on the NBA. We will not.
I do, probably and not. I know there's a couple other people on this radio station who do as well.
Yeah,
I love basketball,
but we can't go all in on NBA yet.
Oh, for sure.
Too early for that. It is a Super Bowl week before, and we got storylines, we got drama, we got narrative, but most of all, we got each other.
Aww.
And in the end, that's what matters most.
That's cute.
We got the developing story out of Baltimore, which, by the way, would be a whole lot more interesting if, in fact, the Ravens and the Chiefs had got to fisticuffs. It actually had a physical altercation with Justin Tucker, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes as the kicker for the Ravens. Justin Tucker had his helmet, his tee, and his football. And he was right there at the end zone line, refusing to move. You may have saw the video. You may have heard the commentary. When I saw this on Sunday, to me, it felt like Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes were just being punks. But then as time has worn on, I feel like maybe that wasn't necessarily the case, C-Cat. I know you're well aware because you're Mr. Raven.
Yeah, I saw a couple of bullies in an off-putting way. Not in a we're tougher than you on the football field way. Not, it was more like we don't really respect you as much as we might respect others. That's what it looked like to me.
It felt like the way that those kids at that community college treated Stone Labanowitz all those years. That they were just like, get out of here. Get out of here. Have that.
Yeah, you're not worth the space or the time that we provide.
Go over there with the rest of the whites. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. For Stone at the community college was that? Do you know?
It was JS or Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
ASA Brooklyn.
There
it was
you
in
go.
Brooklyn. I know that.
Yeah. Stone Labanowitz, the South Fork legend, our teammate here. He got his name on a show inexplicably, incredibly. LaVica, Theo, and Stone. Before he went to Southern Illinois, was at community college in Brooklyn, and he was treated like they did to Justin Tucker.
He was a teammate with one of my high school teammates.
It's a small world.
Sure is.
What are the odds of that?
Very, very slim.
Yes, very slim. Like me. Very slim. So anyway, back to Sunday. This drama was playing out pregame, and we thought, why would Mahomes and Kelce act like this? And why does Tucker not seem to care? And why is he not angry? And by the way, when someone doesn't get angry, there's a reason. Either A, they're scared, or B, they realize they don't have the grounds to be angry. And otherwise, those guys aren't necessarily wrong. And Tucker had a look on his face like he knew these guys aren't wrong to act this way. You know what I'm saying?
I guess so.
Jeanette, you saw it?
Yes. I haven't seen it. I didn't see his facial expressions, but I'm very aware of the story.
So you didn't see Sunday as it was happening? Pregame.
No. All right. Everything I've seen has been on social media.
So most of you saw the video, and if you didn't, it's real simple. Tucker's stretching, and he's got a football, which has, you know, that tee, which is not really a tee. It's more of a holder. It's like a little tripod with an arm that extends, and it holds the football up. And he's got his helmet, and he's got three footballs, and they're all there along the goal line. Well, Mahomes is right there to the left of the camera, and he's attempting to warm up. and throw some passes. And there is his henchman, his underboss, Travis Kelce.
The enforcer.
It's what it feels
the
like.
The enforcer.
If it feels like in movies where there's like the boss man and then there's the heavy, you know, the enforcer. There's
his muscle.
There's that thug, the muscle. That's what Kelce feels like. It's like in Christmas Story when that one little boy was the bully, but then he had the one dude who was his heavy that was, you know, like, yeah, have some of that. Kelce then takes the footballs and throws them and moves the helmet because he's going to do the dirty work from Mahomes already tried to do that. So what really happened? What really happened? Well, as I've come to learn doing this job, and this was not a sports radio job. This was a human behavior job. This was a counseling. This was a life issue job for, I don't know, 15 years. There are many sides to a story. There's his side. There's his or her side. And then generally, there's a side of somebody who had nothing to do with it, who just observed it. And somewhere between that triangulation is the truth. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily in a straight line. It could be somewhere toward the middle. It could be somewhere toward one gradient. But we've got multiple sides. Justin Tucker, we're going to let this escalate. We're going to go from the calmest guy with the golly gee to the dude who's like, here's what happened, to the dude that got beeped multiple times. So let's begin with Justin Tucker, kicker of the Baltimore Ravens. On what happened on Sunday with this whole fiasco with him, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, him being in the middle of where they're working out, they being exactly where he's stretching, and them throwing his helmet and his balls and tee and removing them from the area. Here's Justin Tucker first.
I find it kind of silly that we're even having to address it or talk about something that happened before the game that I really don't see as a big deal. I've been doing the exact same thing for 12 years, never really had a problem with anybody. You know, and I saw Patrick there trying to warm up and get some drop back. So he asked me while I was on the ground stretching, like, if I could move my helmet. So I happily got up and I moved my helmet out of the way. At least I thought it was enough out of the way. And then Travis comes over and he just kicks my stuff and he throws my helmet. And I just thought it was all just some gamesmanship, you know, all in good fun. But they seem to be taking it a little bit more seriously. I'm totally willing to let it all go. But, yeah, I just wanted to explain that. That's just, you know, what I've done for 12 years. And it's not like I'm out there trying to be problematic. I'm just trying to get ready for the football game just like they are.
It's not like I'm trying to be problematic. I'm just getting ready for the football game like they are. So when you hear his explanation, Jeanette, you think what?
Nothing. He's just recounting the story from his perspective. That he's kind of justifying his actions and he's saying what he did.
From his perspective.
Yes.
Right. See, Kat, when you hear Tucker, what do you think?
I hear a guy who won't put any more words, a fight against Mahomes and Kelce because the actual situation and the video at hand does enough justice. Like, you saw what happened.
Right.
They kind of looked bad doing it.
Does he sound angry?
No.
Does he sound defensive?
Not really.
Does he sound accountable? Little bit.
No, I think, a little bit.
Right?
He's not taking the blame.
But he said, you know, like, I always do this, and, you know, I thought it was in game, you know, just a little bit of that. It was just in good fun, but I guess he took it more serious.
He was accountable in the fact that he moved the helmet, for sure, but in his perspective, he moved it a certain amount of distance that he thought Kelce and Mahomes needed.
So this is all for fun, for us anyway. And by the way, nobody got ejected. There were no penalties. There was no physical altercation, so that's great. But for us, this is fun because it's one of those things where you're like, before the game, what the hell is going on? And how might the game have changed if things were handled differently? Or if this never happened, would the outcome of the game have been different? It makes you wonder. Take a listen as we escalate from the calmest guy to the least calm guy, Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, was in the midst of it, but he didn't do the majority of the heavy lifting. That was the heavy. That was the enforcer. That was the thug in the form of Travis Kelce. But here's Patrick Mahomes on exactly what he says happened.
I've had like 7 years of kind of doing that same warm-up routine, and there's only been, I think, like three occasions where there's been a kicker that wasn't because you usually talk to the guys, there's been a kicker that wasn't necessarily moving out the way, or you weren't kind of sharing the field in the right way. And, I mean, it was in Baltimore all three times. So he does that little stuff, I think, to try to get under our skin. And I asked him to move his stuff, and he got up and moved it, I think, 2 inches, but didn't move it out of the way. And I was going to kind of let it slide, but Travis kind of got it and moved it for me. And then after that, I wasn't going to let him put it back down. So it's something that we move on. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him as a player and as a kicker. One of the best kickers of all time, probably the best kicker of all time. But at the same time, you got to have respect for each team, and we all share the field, and we try to do that in a respectful way.
That's Patrick Mahomes on the incident. A little different account from what Justin Tucker told us. Different for you, how?
Absolutely. Again, his perspective, he was still, I think he was calm, but way more defensive than Tucker.
Yeah.
And how Tucker felt and the way Travis Kelce was perceived.
I like the idea that Mahomes says, I've only had three issues with this ever, and they were all with that guy, and that guy, whether it was in Baltimore or KC.
Well, Pat Mahomes has a little bit of an image problem right now. Like, we talked about it, what, 2 or 3 months ago after the...
When he was screaming at the refs?
Yep. The heel turn of the
lining up in the neutral zone,
where he kind of became the bad guy. Right. Not a good way. He kind of showed himself a little bit where he's kind of protecting his image, it seemed like, in that clip.
Justin Tucker spoke. Patrick Mahomes spoke. They're not always the dudes that are the realest. Whether they're telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, they're not always the realest. They're a little more polished and gosh. But Travis Kelce on his podcast... He generally comes off as somewhat authentic and real. We had to beep him quite a bit and remove some words. But take a listen, because Travis Kelce is going to tell his brother Jason on the New Heights podcast what he says really happened on Sunday with Justin Tucker, his equipment, Mahomes, and himself in this warm-up gate situation. Take a listen.
We're warming up, and we do our same warm-up every single time on our side of the field. For those of you that don't know what happens in pre-games, the Ravens have their side of the field, and the Chiefs have our side of the field. Now, specialists, because of like the wind factor and
they go to
where
both
you
sides
are, they get a chance to kick at both field goals and kind of punt from both sides of the field. But it's always, if you're trying to go onto the other team's designated area, you kind of stay out of their way. You know, you don't interfere with what they have going on.
That is the unwritten rule.
That's the unwritten rule. If you want to be a dick about it, you keep your helmet and your football and your fucking kicking tee right where the quarterbacks are warming up, and they're dropping, eyes are looking left, and they got a helmet down by their feet.
It's actually kind of dangerous, really, but
like, if you're not going to pick that up, I'll happily move that for you.
Jeanette, what do you think he got beeped on? What do you think those words were? Let's play match game. Let's fill in the blank. What do you think those words were?
Beep beep.
What do you think those words were?
I'm not gonna say it.
Oh, you're afraid.
You're trying to get me fired.
Maybe, yeah. I think most of us know what he was saying. I think you pieced together what he was. One of them ends in ing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them does not.
Ducking.
No, don't get close. See, now you're screwing around. Now you're going too far.
You're freaking D, man.
Okay, not necessary. Why did I even introduce this?
You asked a question, and now we're answering.
I thought I work with people with better judgment. I need to get better judgment on both aspects of that. Kelce said, listen, man, he was being an antagonist, and I believe that. I honestly think Justin Tucker likes to push buttons a little bit. There's no need for him to be there. Whether it's his ritual and he's got OCD or not, him in that spot at that time on that side of the field is saying, I'm hoping to get under your skin a little bit. The problem is, it may have actually galvanized those guys. It may have actually been like, this is what we were talking about. Listen to Kelce with the rest of what he said to his brother.
Justin came out and he said it was more of a joking gesture and kind of a fun competitive. And I get it. I mean, he was kind of winking at me, like being a dick about it, like trying to get under the skin.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
I get it, but
he got under your skin a little bit.
Me and Pat, we've been having the same mentality for this game all week long, man.
Yeah.
And it was you got to go in there and have the right mind frame, have the right mindset. And we just weren't in a joking mood. We were ready to get after it. And so, Justin, sorry if we took it to a level that you didn't think it'd get to that way. But if you're going to be a dick, I promise you, I can one-up you every time.
I can out-bleep you. I can one-up you every time. I can out-bleep you. You think you're that guy? I can be that guy. I can make it worse. Did Justin Tucker actually help the Ravens lose that game?
No.
The mindset and mentality that he, Kelce, and Mahomes all week were like, we are not coming this far just to come this far. Those are the two survivors. They've been the whole way. They've been on this journey since year one. They were there when Dee Ford lined up in the neutral zone. The intercepted ball overturned. Tom Brady gets another chance. Brady and the Patriots go to the Super Bowl instead of the Chiefs. I got to be honest with you. That's the best performance we've seen of Travis Kelce in a long time.
Yeah.
He caught everything. He ran harder. He blocked harder. He did everything that he used to do and more. This was the most locked in we've seen him. Mahomes is Mahomes, but Mahomes was flawless. He didn't make mistakes. These two seemed to be locked in like he said they were all week. And I can't help but think that the Tucker thing didn't do anything to take away from that.
Yeah, Kelce had the best statistical performance in a long time, but he also did the stuff that you don't see on the stat sheet, coaxing the Ravens into a couple of unsportsmanlike conduct penalties by getting in their heads, not being the second guy to throw a punch or throw a shove. He did a lot of stuff you didn't even see on the stat sheet.
Pretty crazy that the guys that were the ones that were most locked in together, that were the ones involved in the little thing before the game, suddenly found another reason to be like, bleep this guy, this nonsense. I think it was a nice little refocus, because if they're just left alone without one of those moments, who knows? You don't know. But we do know is what Tucker did didn't work.
No, and it's funny how Travis Kelce says, I didn't let it get under my skin. It's living rent-free in your head, because look at his reaction to the conversation versus Patrick Mahomes or Justin Tucker.
You think he still thinks about it?
100%. No. Obviously, if you're getting that agitated and cursing and going wild over a scenario.
He's laughing about it.
1,000%. No.
He's laughing about it on the podcast. And then he's using those terms to be like, you're such a little dork. Like, you're a nerd for this. But he doesn't sound angry to me. Sound angry to you?
No, and I also think it's almost a good thing that Tucker got in his head, because it was added motivation. It refocused. In the NBA, you have buddy-buddy. We're all friends here. We're all in this brotherhood. The NFL, you still
in
have
the
a piece.
NBA? Oh, no. People hate each other in the NBA.
Some do.
People hate each other against
some
the
do,
NBA.
But there's a whole lot of dapping and hugging. And
oh, my gosh.
Can I get your jersey swap after the game? There's a whole lot of that in the NBA, too.
Yeah, a little bit less so in the NFL, where it's straight up mission statement, F those guys. We hate those guys. They are the enemy.
NBA does that. Jeanette, I don't hear 80s and 90s NFL players talk about how they hate how the dudes are all lovey-dovey, huggy, like I hear the 80s and 90s NBA players. Like the 80s, 90s NBA, whether it's your boy Barkley or MJ, the dudes of that era, like, what's going on that these guys are all friends?
Yeah.
I miss the hatred. That happens more with the lovey-dovey stuff in the NBA than it does in the NFL.
Yeah, the whole banana boat crew. You have Draymond Green just
That's
standing
like
LeBron James.
That's five select players.
The most important people in the NBA. Yeah.
Anyway, we're way off subject. The point I'm trying to make is I believe Tucker went down there with the idea of I'm going to annoy him. I'm going to maybe get some dudes ejected. I'm going to see if I can't cause some problems where other dudes get involved, because I don't mind. I'm going to go be instigator. Well, he did go be instigator. And as small and dumb as it is, C-Cat's right. There was a little bit of bleep this guy, bleep this. This is that focus we were talking about. And boy, I'm not saying it's the effect or the cause, rather, of the Kelce effect. But he didn't play like that against the Dolphins. He didn't play like that against the Bills. He didn't play like that late in the season. Cue up the Beastie Boys. If he wants to yell Beastie Boys and he likes to say you got to fight for your right to party, his Beastie Boy drop should be drop.
Iconic.
Christmas Day against the Raiders. It seemed to start. It didn't get any better. He dropped multiple balls that were key against the Dolphins wild card round. He was terrible against the Bills and then redeemed himself with that touchdown. And then the dude gave double birds into his face. And then he pointed to the suite. Great. Travis Kelce was locked in. And I got to tell you, I'm not saying that's the reason why, but it certainly couldn't have hurt.
Yeah, it was added motivation, right? We talk about guys all the time manifesting and just kind of manipulating motivation and creating it in their brain, but that was actually physical right before the game.
Eli Manning asked on the Pat McAfee show about this situation. Take a listen to some of what Eli said.
It's a little bit abnormal with the kicker quarterback. It's like, the quarterback's dropping right there. You can move the helmet, move the balls. Like, Tucker's just stretching. Like, you don't need your helmet and balls sitting right there where a quarterback's dropping back. So, I think it's just a little pregame, playoff, toughness deal. I think it's all fun. I think it's been blown up into a much bigger ordeal. But there's always been some pregame. Hey, this is our side. This is where we warm up. You should be on the other side. You're in our space. I mean, that happens pretty regularly.
Eli Manning, who then went on to say, normally it's the punter who's in the way. Normally the punter, because he's talking to McAfee.
Right.
He's joking with McAfee.
Yeah.
Right. You understand? McAfee used to be a punter.
I know that.
Yeah.
But also, it's the idea. I hate unwritten rules. It goes back to the, like, of any sport. Unwritten rules are kind of stupid and ludicrous. And I only say that because the conversation brought them. Everybody's got them. Right. Absolutely. But it's not concrete. It's in law. Right. It's not law. So if somebody breaks an unwritten rule, that's cool. That's cute. But there's no reason to blow it up out of proportion.
Unwritten rules are like common courtesies. Unwritten rule is like, if someone is walking behind you when you enter a store, you hold the door for them. That's all. There's nothing that says it's almost like a moral. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like your morals or values. Unwritten rules in sports are just common decency. You hold the door for someone. If someone's rushing to get in the elevator, you're in the elevator, you put your arm to block the door so they can get in. That's all.
For sure. But I think when you have unwritten rules towards people, you're setting them up for expectations and you're going to be the one that's disappointed. Going back to your holding door.
Unwritten rules.
Bartending, I am holding trays of drinks and people will close the door in front of me as they look at me. But what am I going to do? Am I going to yell at them?
You should work at a higher class place. You should work with higher class clientele.
Any place like that. But yeah. That's even when going out. If you see a female walking, about to walk through the door, don't you, like you mentioned, hold the door? No, if
a
guy doesn't.
I do it for female.
Any human doesn't. I'm not going to yell at them, but is it an unwritten rule? Yes, but no need to create drama.
I did it today for a woman who was way behind me because you're in that weird zone. Mm-hmm. If I just walk out, am I rude? But if I hold it, then she's got to start running. And so she picked up her pace and started running. There's like, you know, that awkwardness, you know I'm talking about.
Did you bow as she walked like through the door? Kind of lower your head a little bit? Like,
no.
M'lady?
Well, no. M'lady? Am I Michael Scott?
I don't know. You're just kind of going above and beyond for this random woman. It's
no, I'm in that spot of being polite, but then there's that judgment call. It's like when there's a light that turns yellow and you're learning how to drive. When you're 16 and 17 years old and the light turns yellow, you're not sure. Do I stop because am I too close or am I far enough away I'm supposed to go through it? Well, the same thing applies in public when you hold a door open. The person behind you, are they so far behind that now they feel the need to jog? Or are they close enough that obviously it's a given you're going to be holding the door for them? You put them in the awkward position.
Yeah.
There's nothing weirder than when someone's holding the door for you and you don't want them to.
For sure.
When you're like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'm still a little bit away.
Or you're going the other way. I love that. Like, I'm going this way.
I've not had that one, but that would be. I've had the, oh, no, I'm good. Like, go ahead. Go on in. Close the door because I'm not going to jog now to get there.
I can diagnose those situations from miles away. Well, I'll size up. If I'm like 60 feet away from an establishment, I see someone who's maybe 10 feet closer than me. I'll slow down intentionally so they don't have a choice. They do not see me in their sight. That they will not hold the door open for me. Or if I'm ahead of them and the choice is for me to hold the door open or not, I'll pull it close. I'll speed up and pull it close so that there was no deciding.
That's an unwritten rule.
For sure. Well, for me.
Society. That's an unwritten rule.
The only place, and this is why I hate unwritten rules, I am that person in the elevator. I will purposely try to close the door if I see you walking in. Like, I'll find that one corner in the elevator that nobody can see me and press the close button and move forward.
Why?
Because I don't know. I don't want to be in an enclosed space with a stranger.
Same.
And then do some small talk that I don't care. Yeah. Oh, did you have a great day? It's none of your business. I want
to
go home.
Nobody says, did you have a great day in an elevator?
No, people try to have.
Did you have a great day?
What? Have
really?
Like on the way out, I'll be like, have a great day. But don't ask me what I'm wearing. Like Stone loves to start conversations in elevators. It's the most uncomfortable thing
I'm in elevators every single day because of my living situation. And I always am amazed by getting an elevator. People don't make eye contact, don't speak. But then when someone gets out, have a good day.
That's me.
Right. It's like, I don't want to talk to you on the way, but leaving, I feel the need to. And I will get out of the elevator without saying anything to anyone. If they say something, then of course I will. I'll say, take care. But I'm not like, as the elevator is leaving, as we're arriving, the door's open, yeah. I turn around to face them and I say, it was a pleasure riding with you today.
Somebody
have a wonderful evening.
When we lived in the other offices and we had to take the elevator up to the sixth floor.
You lived in the office?
No, when we worked in the office, people would be like, oh, how was your day? They're like, it's none of your business. Again,
nobody
I don't care.
Asked you how was your day?
Yes, Josh. And when if I wore a polo that said ESPN West Palm, they'd be like, oh, you work there? I'll be like, absolutely.
You worked in the same building. You used the same elevator to the same top floor of the garage. Would you have a lot of people asking you, how was your day today?
No, because I would start the conversations with a little bit of, hey, how's it going?
You see?
Yeah. Oh, are you the guy
who
starts it?
Yeah, I would start the conversation.
Oh, you're the starter.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're the worst.
No.
I hate your people.
Uh-huh.
That was Eli, who, by the way, didn't have a whole lot to say. Richard Sherman made a career playing and now obviously post-playing, on Having a Lot to Say. Listen to what Richard Sherman said about this situation in Baltimore on Saturday with Justin Tucker, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce, where Tucker wouldn't move his balls and his helmet and needed a stretch right there on the goal line for no reason. Listen to what Sherm said.
This was Justin Tucker being a little bit of an antagonist. Like, hey, this is my space. Even where he was kicking from isn't a real spot kickers kick from. You never kick from the goal line. Even if you're kicking a field goal from the goal line, you're kicking from the 20.
Oh, man, you don't kick from there.
You don't ever kick from there. So it's his routine, though, and it's him being an antagonist. Like, if he can get away with it, he will. And obviously, they weren't letting him get away with it, and they were moving. He just better be thankful it wasn't defensive players because they're a little crazier than that. And it wouldn't have been just throw your helmet. It would have been like, hey, I'm going to put my hands on you if you don't get out the way. Yeah. I'm going to remove you.
I kind of think that's what Justin Tucker wanted to happen. I think he wanted there to be some kind of an altercation where there was multiple dudes against him. And so for the referees, it's obvious. Well, it's on the Chiefs. They're the problem because there's multiple of them and there's one little kicker guy. The optics are bad. Justin Tucker wanted to create a problem in which maybe, just maybe, somebody got suspended, somebody got ejected, somebody got in trouble, that there was an issue. That's what he wanted to do. That's why he was doing it there, whether it's his ritual routine or not. This is a different game. This is the game to go to the Super Bowl. And what your routine is fine. But also, these guys have made it clear that this is where they are now. And as you heard Mahomes claim, he's only had issue three times, and they've all been with Justin Tucker, whether it be in KC or in Baltimore.
Yeah, so Justin Tucker, for you're saying, he was looking for trouble, and he found it. It didn't go the way he planned.
No, it did the opposite. Instead, it locked those two cats in. I don't know if that's the reason why, but what I do know is it didn't do anything to hurt. It didn't help him in any way. It only hurt his idea. Because Kelce wound up being the best version we've seen this postseason, this season, and it wasn't even close.
If Lamar doesn't play like garbage and the Ravens win that football game, is the tune a little bit different?
No, because Kelce still caught those balls. Mahomes still made those plays.
I agree. I think it would have been, Christian, if the Ravens won. If the Ravens won, they would have been like, Justin Tucker's
you're the
in.
Only one. He doesn't believe that. He asked the question.
But yeah. I don't really know the answer.
You don't believe it.
Yes.
You don't believe that.
Well, you asked if the story would have changed.
Do you know why it's a story?
If the Ravens would have won. If the Ravens won. And I said, yes, I do think.
All right. Yeah, listen, you're in sports broadcast. Why is this a story?
Because sports athletes have petty drama.
But why is this a story? Really? Would this be a story if the game were a Sunday?
Yeah.
No. Correct answer is it would not be. It's a story because we've got 11 days to get to Super Bowl 58. We need story and nonsense today and tomorrow and Friday. And then we need it again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all over again. Yeah, this isn't a story in a normal business, in a normal week. Maybe Monday you go, ooh, did you see that? That was weird. Here's what they said. But that's it.
If they did fight.
If
then
they fought, of course.
That would have been,
of course.
That would have been extra.
It is newsworthy because it is needed. Something is. And we're not yet into Super Bowl week. And that's why it is what it is. Coming up, why it might be impossible for whom to get to Las Vegas next weekend. Not this, but next weekend. This story is wild. And it is something that nobody is apparently aware of or realizes. We're going to do both. Make you aware and realize we come back. This should be a bigger story about getting to Las Vegas in time, or actually the day or for Super Bowl 58. We'll explain. First, though, Ballpark Palm Beaches. Couple weeks, pitchers and catchers are in the hizzow. Tomorrow's February 1st, which means we're 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. Jeanette, details, please.
Officially in spring training month at Ballpark of the Palm Beaches. First game, February 27th. And y'all, it's perfect for the family, for the friends at beautiful 360-degree concourse. There's a little field. You bring the blankets. There's a bunch of bars to roam around with. And, of course, fantastic entertainment by the Houston Astros and Washington Nationals. See the Phillies. See the Red Sox. Marlins, St. Louis Cardinals, all at the Ballpark of the Palm Beaches. Tickets on sale now. Visit ballparkpalmbeaches.com.
Coming up, might it be impossible for who to get into Las Vegas, for who to actually get to town, for Super Bowl 58. We'll tell you what that is coming next. Plus, who did we finally get to see topless that the internet was floored by seeing topless? Details next. It is your home team for the ride home on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. Is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
It is a hump day edition of the home team on the ride home, and we are in the middle of that dead spot known as All-Star Week for the NHL. Pro Bowl weekend for the NFL, which is now a skills competition and a flag football game. Which makes you wonder what the NBA should do, since defense is now optional. I say scrap the entire NBA All-Star game and replace it with a spelling bee. That would be must-see TV.
You know what?
Let these guys try and spell words like xylophone.
I feel like that could be extended to all leagues.
I'm thinking slam ball.
You know what? If you did like a grammar, bowl for the NHL. Because those dudes don't hardly speak English.
They've got new words I've never heard of.
That would be outstanding. I want a spelling bee for the NBA. I want a geography bee for the NFL. I want a grammar bowl for the NHL. And then for Major League Baseball, I want them just to not play at all.
No.
What a fashion show.
Do I?
A fashion show.
A fashion show.
Baseball.
Yeah, a fashion show.
They're not known for their fashion.
For the Midsummer Classic. Mm-hmm. Let it be a, or better yet, just like when they dress the rookies up, just do that. Here's our rookies.
Nice.
A competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like a costume contest for the All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd be interested. Coming up in a second, it might be impossible for who to get into Las Vegas for Super Bowl 58. And I mean like literally get into Las Vegas. We'll explain coming up in just a second. First, though, Anajar and Levine were my accident attorneys. Getting into an accident sucks. Missing work sucks. Obviously, dealing with losing vehicles and losing work and having all kinds of medical problems and bills and stuff sucks. Anajar and Levine will handle everything. Car accidents, truck accidents, slip and fall. Friends of mine, Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, they got a team. They got a big team. And they will fight for you. They do not get paid unless you get paid. And they will fight to get you the maximum compensation that you know you deserve. Call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. And the Anajar and Levine difference, it takes one phone call to take back control of your life. And they will take care of dealing with the insurance companies and with the doctors and with all that stuff for you. And again, won't cost you a cent for your consultation. And they do not get paid a cent. Unless you get paid a lot more. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-FREE. 800-747-3733 for Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Take back control of your life. I got asked a question about a tweet that I made earlier today in reference to the fact that not long ago, the boss reminded me that I am the face of ESPN West Palm here locally. And I want to make sure people on Twitter realize that it's not something I take lightly. I do understand that I have a place in the community and here is the face of being here a long time, the primary show, all that. It's great. And then a guy replied and said, well, with your face, it's no wonder you're on radio.
Got him.
Yeah. And I was like, see, it's not what I'm talking about, man.
It was a joke.
She didn't say the prettiest face. She didn't say the nicest face.
It was a woman?
The boss.
Oh, okay. They meant the person
no.
replied. Okay.
When the boss says you're the face of ESPN West Palm, our organization here,
yeah.
She didn't say the prettiest. She didn't say the nicest. She didn't say the most handsome. She didn't say any of those things. Just meant in the sense of in the community, you're the one that people know. Charity events, social events, etc. You're the one that they recognize and that they've been familiar with for a quarter of a century. And then on the air, the longest running show, we get that. So that's what she meant. Not like handsome, and that guy was not very nice. So now I'm not taking it seriously. Okay. I'm going to do the opposite.
Okay.
You're our ambassador.
Correct. Right. Face of. Ambassador. Same thing. Wasn't very nice. Words hurt. Have you ever seen me on Twitter?
Yeah, a lot. More than I want to, for sure.
I was
going to
say, that's the most mild thing anybody has responded to you with.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I know that cat. He used to be the GM at Lamborghini back in the day. I know that cat personally. So he's having a little bit of fun.
Okay.
Words hurt. That's all I'm trying to say. Isn't that right, you stupid idiot?
Him?
See what I just did right there? Hey, can you tell the guys next to you that we can hear them through your microphone? Just go ahead and tell them. Let them know. Let them know. No, no, while your mic is on, so we can hear you. Let them know while your mic is on. Hey, guys, we can hear you.
Hey, guys, we can hear you.
So, it's not like you're... No, Dave said, oh, lucky for you. Why might it be impossible for whom to get into Las Vegas next week? Who am I talking about, Jeanette?
Taylor Swift.
Why? Why would it be impossible for her to get into Vegas?
Because she's doing a world tour right now.
But why would it be impossible for her to get in?
Because of the time difference, her concert, the time it could end.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. That's not it.
Good.
That's not it. You got the right person, but you got the wrong why. And as we know, it's always about the why. Here's why Taylor Swift might not be able to get into Vegas. It's got nothing to do with her concert. Listen.
The question isn't, does Taylor Swift want to go to the Super Bowl? The question is whether she's even able to go. Let's break down all the obstacles. Well, for starters, she has a show in Tokyo the night before.
Right.
Tokyo is a 13-hour flight from Las Vegas.
So what?
But the good thing is that Tokyo is 17 hours ahead of Vegas. So Taylor will have time on her side. If exhaustion doesn't stop her from walking through the doors of Allegiant Stadium, the Las Vegas airport might. Booking a landing time in Las Vegas Super Bowl week? It's almost impossible for private planes. An expert in the private aviation industry told The Athletic he had 4 clients who had to cancel their trip because no one was able to get the proper times to land in Vegas. Now, do I think they'll be able to figure it out for Taylor Swift? Yeah, I mean, they have to. The Swifties would probably come in and pave an entire new runway if they were asked.
They would come and pave an entirely new runway if they were asked to. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration. That sound from Bleacher Report. I was on a private jet once flying into Las Vegas on a Monday night that was going to be the first Monday night football game with fans inside Allegiant Stadium. Gonna be the first actually game for the Raiders in Vegas where they could have fans. So it was the first, you know, it was opening weekend of 2021. And my buddy who owns the private jet, who's very successful in life and in business, he was explaining, we got to get to the plane now. Literally drove onto the tarmac in Aspen, threw the bags to the dude who put them underneath, said, get on, sit down fast, sleep out now. We're going now. I thought this was like a weather emergency. The window. They have a window that you must hit. So we are flying from Aspen to Vegas. We've got to be right there in vicinity for the air traffic control to say, Tango 5-9, Jeff, you are set for go. Because if you miss your window, you can't land.
Mm-hmm.
You literally can't. It's not that you can just show up when you want. If you don't hit your window with your private jet, sorry, you got to go somewhere else. So I know exactly what this woman's talking about when she explains this. Whether you're Taylor Swift or not doesn't matter. Worst case scenario, if they can't get a slot. And by the way, Vegas, McCarran, and you know, surrounding area for private aircraft next weekend is going to be stupid.
Yep.
Next Thursday through Monday, absolutely stupid. I went to Kentucky Derby a couple times. That's a smaller, much smaller airport in Louisville. You see aircraft that are stacked, like triple parked. Meaning that, say somebody was like, I need my jet. I got to get out of here. Sorry.
Mm-mm.
You can't because there's 2 others now parked in front of you. Vegas is going to look stupid from the air. If you look at the private planes coming in from all around the world, every CEO, every president, every CFO, every celebrity, every athlete, because Super Bowl is always an event. And I go to the parties and events when it's in places like Atlanta or Phoenix. But when it's in Vegas, I just get out of the way. Because it's just stupid in Vegas.
It's extra.
It's going to absolutely just be stupid. And people are going to complain and be like, wow, this is not a great city for a Super Bowl. You know what media always said was the best town to host Super Bowl? You want to guess? It happened in the last 15 years. Take a guess.
I'm going to go with Miami.
Miami is one of the worst.
I know.
It's one of the least popular locations. What do you mean you know?
I figured.
If you know, then why would you answer it?
Because I wanted to.
Makes perfect sense. Let's give the absolute wrong answer that I knows it wrong. C-Cat.
Minnesota.
Minnesota's close. Minnesota's close.
They were all set up in the mall, right? Like where the radio
Mall of America?
Was. Yeah.
Probably.
I was going to go with Philly, but that's an open.
No, you weren't. You were going to go with Miami because you knew it was wrong.
But then I, I knew it was wrong, but Philly makes more sense with the transit and you have so many ways to get in
Philly
there.
Philly sucks too.
Okay.
Correct response, Indianapolis. When Super Bowl was in Indy a few years ago, the media marveled at how easy it was to get into hotel, to then walk to all of the media events, game events, etc. Everything's connected. There's walkways between hotels. So forget the fact that it's Indiana in January and February and focus on the fact that that downtown and the way they structured it makes perfect sense. Because when Super Bowl comes to Miami, it's in Miami Gardens, it's Hard Rock Stadium. But there's going to have to be events at the Miami Beach Convention Center on South Beach. Mm-hmm. And there's going to have to be events over there along Collins Avenue. There's going to be events that happen in Fort Lauderdale. So everything in the casino, you're talking about with traffic sometimes an hour to get from the beach to the stadium. And how's that good for anybody?
It's terrible.
I did Indy for the Big Ten Championship game once, which is probably maybe 1/20th the size of the Super Bowl in terms of how big of an event it was.
1/50th.
It was nice, though. It was very walkable and fun. The bars were great there.
That's what media love about Indianapolis. So Taylor Swift, you know, get that spot. But if she can't, like say that, well, we got no window for you to land that plane, you know they'll land somewhere nearby.
I was saying Vegas is only like 3-4 hours away. LA is only 3-4 hours away.
No, they'll be closer than that. They'll land somewhere close, an executive airport, and then they'll just take a chopper.
For sure.
Helicopter. And then put that down at the top of the whatever hotel, and there you go.
Area 51, maybe? I think she's got access.
Does Taylor Swift have access to Area 51? That's the question. Does she? I've seen some stuff from the sky out in Vegas. Daytime. We were doing the show for like 4 days, live from Vegas. Home team from Vegas, 4-day stretch, 2004, 2005. And we were leaving. It's bright blue sky, sunshine. I'm looking at the mountains. And I see like 4 or 5 metallic balls, like metallic orbs, almost like Mylar balloons, you know? But they are kind of in a formation, just kind of hanging out. And they kind of all shift. And they vanished. Daytime. Area 51 is a real place. You know that.
Yeah.
Your sister's in the Air Force.
Yeah.
She knows too much.
Maybe. I don't know. You're not supposed to know.
You're not supposed to know.
Exactly.
Area 51, also known as Groom Lake.
I just
code name, AKA Dreamland.
It was one or 2 years ago where there was like a big Facebook fan page going around that everybody's going to do a Naruto run and take over Area 51.
Yeah.
You
know
about that? Are you talking about that idiotic, moronic thing a couple years ago where they're like, we're going to storm the gates. It can't stop us all?
With a Naruto run? I thought that was hilarious.
Naruto. The what?
Naruto.
Oh, sorry. Naruto.
Naruto.
Are you okay today?
Yeah.
Did you get enough sleep?
No.
I can tell. I didn't sleep that well either. This idea, they're like, hey, we're all going to storm the gates. We're all going to jump the fence. They can't stop us all.
It's hilarious.
And to the point that they actually drew a reaction that said, no. Anyone who attempts to breach will be shot on sight.
The FBI said that.
No, mow down.
They'll mow everyone down. First of all, there's weaponry that involve like microwaves. So they can shoot microwaves at you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't see it.
Like actual microwaves?
Actual microwaves.
Like the box? Oven.
What?
Like the box that you plug out of your kitchen and you just throw into the crowd? That image is hilarious.
Like radiation then? Like boom. There's
sonic weaponry. There's weaponry that can concussive weaponry that we have that other nations have utilized to cause heart attacks.
Nope.
You can target individuals and send this blast that will cause cardiac arrest and or heart attacks. We have weaponry. We have weaponry beyond like bullets. You guys understand that?
For sure.
There's laser, there's sonic, there's concussive, there's all kinds of stuff. Microwave stuff. Yeah. So I would imagine those idiots trying to climb the fence would all just get hit with a shockwave blast and they would fall on their back, some of them dead, and realize this wasn't worth it for my Snapchat.
Their last
This words. Wasn't worth it for my Snapchat.
I was here for that though. I've actually wanted, are there any tours in Area 51 though?
I think there's like...
How much sleep did you get last night?
I literally got 4 hours.
30 minutes?
I would.
Are there tours of Area 51?
Well, like there has to be an outside area, like a little museum miles away or something.
Yeah, no. Area 51 has signs that say, no photography, no trespassing, etc., that explain that anyone who breaches will be shot. Do you know the employees for Area 51 arrive to work?
No.
Do you know how they get there?
No.
So there is a plane. They call it Janet.
Janet? Almost Janet. Like...
It's an acronym. Janet. J-A-N-E-T. Just another non-something transport. And it doesn't have... I've seen it, actually, at McCarran. I've seen it on the tarmac. And it doesn't have letters. It doesn't have a designation. You know, it doesn't have an N3714, like a license plate, like airplanes do. And Janet is how employees of Area 51 get to work. There's three shifts a day. There's two of them. I believe there's two of the aircraft. So you have to drive to the airport, the Vegas airport, and you don't go into the main terminal. You don't go through TSA. There's a hangar, like you're going private aviation, and everyone rides to work together on that aircraft.
Shout out Janet.
Taxpayer money, damn it.
Taxpayer money. You don't roll up to Area 51 and show your badge and be like, yeah, I work here.
Oh, okay.
They fly in together. On Janet, three shifts a day, 8, 8, and 8.
What an interesting job that must be, seriously.
Working there?
Yeah.
Depends on what you're doing. But yeah, I'd imagine some people that work there are like, if people only knew.
Do you think that they're actually friends with the aliens or whatever they have in there? Like they maybe have a buddy-buddy greeting acquaintance?
See, as I understand it, there are several species.
Okay.
Many species of extraterrestrial life.
Okay.
And some of them are not very friendly.
Oh, I was going to say, what up, Henry?
Some of them are not very cordial. Okay. And others are just trying to, like, get us to stop destroying the planet with nuclear stuff.
Oh.
As I understand it.
Like but the Terminator?
Sort of like the Terminator, but not really.
Okay.
Sort of. There were stories for years that actual extraterrestrial remains were kept at Homestead, at the Air Force Base in Homestead.
Yeah.
Because there's an old story about like Nixon going there with Jackie Gleason.
Interesting.
Once upon a time. So Gleason, because Gleason had some fascination with UFOs and flying saucers, and he swore he saw something, and Nixon and he were very close friends. And apparently Nixon showed him something, and Gleason was never the same. If you believe the stories. I know people who are credible, who have knowledge of things that have no reason otherwise to, that kind of verified what I thought I've seen, what I've experienced. Because I've seen stuff in the daytime and nighttime. Mm. And the daytime stuff's scary. Because at nighttime, you can tell yourself, oh, it's exciting. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But in the daytime, you're like, that's not. And at first, it's exciting for half a second. And then it's kind of terrifying.
I say the same thing about men in the clubs.
There it is. We come back. Who do we finally get to see topless? And the internet was absolutely floored by this. Plus, they had to respond publicly, which you get. We'll find out who that was coming up in just a second. Though, C-Cat's got a word for ESPN West Palm Play, our new home of video content and storytelling on YouTube.
You know, I'm of the age where I came up with YouTube being a normal thing, like from middle school on.
Seriously?
And I have my favorite YouTube channel, and I happen to work for the same company. It's a dream come true, really. It really is.
Same good for you, C-Cat.
You've known and loved the past 20 years, bringing the game to YouTube. Behind-the-scenes content, exclusive interviews, all the best action, anytime, anywhere, for free. As localized as local coverage gets in sports in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach County, and the Treasure Coast. Subscribe to ESPN West Palm on YouTube. Presented by Duffy Sports Grill, Lido Rider, Smith, Ivy, and Fonrath. Watch us play.
Thank you, C-Cat. Coming up in just a second, who do we finally get to see topless that now the internet was floored by? The home team, with more talk about nonsense, Area 51 and topless people on ESPN 106.3.
Celsius, essential energy drinks.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Home team on the ride home on that week in which stories like Justin Tucker and that nonsense dominate the headlines. We're in the week before Super Bowl.
And Taylor Swift.
Meanwhile, the Seahawks have a new coach whose name sounds awfully familiar. Dolphin fans, you're going to be like, wait, what? And then you'll understand. Tell you what that is in just a second. Truist, when you start with Carrie, you get a different bank, you get a better bank, you get Truist is what you get. Checking, savings, credit cards, mortgages, loans, investments, they will handle everything so you can focus on the life stuff that matters most. For some, that's having kids, or getting married, or buying a house, going to college, starting a business. What people say doesn't matter, but what they do says everything. And what Truist has done and continues to do in our community, families and individuals like me and small businesses like mine, yeah, that's everything. Check them out online. Visit a branch near you. You will see what I mean. You will feel that difference, and you'll realize that's where your banking should be. Truist.com. Truist. Start with care. Get a different, get a better kind of bank. Who did we finally get to see topless and the internet was floored? Who was it? Jeanette?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is absolutely correct. That is correct. Did you happen to see Patrick Mahomes and his dad bod? C-Cat.
Yeah, I saw him.
Thoughts?
He looked pretty good.
He didn't look terrible, but he's also 28 years old.
Absolutely. And
he's 28 years old.
Star quarterback. You would think you would be in better shape.
With my shirt off, I actually look better than he does. He has the dad bod. He's a dad. I'm not a dad, but I could technically be his dad. Yeah. And I don't have the dad bod like he does.
Yes, but it's also the level of physical activity that you would presume would keep these guys in shape like that. Like, golfers aren't moving around and having to do things and lift heavy weights.
Tom Brady ain't got that body. Never did either.
Well, yes, he did.
He kind of got it.
The whole TB12 method was about
Patrick Mahomes
that.
Saw the video of himself on Inside the NFL, the locker room footage, and he tweeted out, "Yo, why they have to do me like that?" Question mark with crying emoji. Hashtag dad bod. SZN meaning season. He then replied to his own tweet and said, like, I got kids at the Chiefs at Inside the NFL at NFL. Crying emoji.
Yeah, I feel like every visual of every quarterback shirtless nowadays is a bad one, right? You got the Manning brothers never look good shirtless on the beach. Right. You had Mac Jones, that visual with the cigar in his mouth.
I think next week we're going to take a picture of me. Give me a few days to do some push-ups. And then put it side by side with Mahomes. And I think you'd be like, JC actually looks more like he's the athlete than dad bod Mahomes. But again, Mahomes is a dad. So give him that. When he says, like, I got kids, does he mean I got kids? Like, hey, it's what it is. Or I got kids, like, don't show me like that. Which way does he mean? It could
you
be both.
You didn't birth the kids, Patrick. Chill.
Exactly. Coming up inside the cocktail hour, does Tom Brady actually have not two, not even three? Does Tom Brady have four what? Does he have, own four of these? We'll tell you what these is. Plus, Brady may have got caught in a major lie. He may have been on a certain show claiming that he was actually this, and people say that's not true. I'll tell you what that is. You'll hear it next. The home team, hour two, ESPN 106.3.